This is Calliope Writing Coach, the podcast about writing and publishing success from every angle. I'm Angie Fenimore, international best-selling author and writing coach.
And I'm Michael Sheen, author, platform designer, and marketing master. Episode 12, Beyond Ambition. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Calliope Writing Coach podcast. Michael and Angie in the house.
Hello.
Angie's sick today.
I have the flu.
She's sounding a little rough, but we've also got with us RJ Hodges. Welcome, RJ.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Sorry you have the flu, Angie, but I think you're going to be better before this podcast is over.
That's what we're aiming for. So RJ Hodges is a best-selling co-author of the book Mission Unstoppable, partnering with world-renowned leaders George Frazier and Les Brown. He's also the author of You Can't Practice at the Game, The Art of Mastering You, Volume 1, and an audiobook series called Winner Status. RJ, it is such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and to speak with you guys today.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your career up to this point. What is it that you've been up to?
I always tell people when they ask me that question, how much time do you have? Let's see if I can sum it up. I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia, where I still live today. And the one thing that I always say is I was always the person where I had a lot of ambition. I didn't always have a lot of direction. And for a lot of people out there that understand ambition, never let go of that because it will keep driving you. And somewhere in that ambition, I started to look at the common denominators, those things that I seem to be really good at, or that other people were telling me, RJ, you're pretty good at this, or you're pretty good at that. And started my very first business at the age of 18 in the network marketing industry. Uh-huh. And that was the first time that someone threw me literally in front of a stage, in front of a crowd of people. Mm-hmm. Kind of got a call saying, hey, you're doing a presentation today. No preparation. I didn't know what I was going to say. I had seen it millions of times before, but I stood up there and I felt at home. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there's a connection here. There's something between me and empowering other people. And that's where my career as an inspirational speaker really started, was in that room on that Saturday morning, telling people how they could save money on their electricity and gas services. that's where it all started. But I spent more time talking about life and how to be a better person in the midst of building a business. And I knew that that was my niche, and transformed from that, and spent some more time in network marketing, and then kind of made a little money and blew a little money, and went into the corporate arena where I worked at a law firm for a number of years, and then I started to notice that another common denominator for me was coaching, was really showing people how to strategize their lives, and it originally started from a personal development standpoint, showing them how to strategize maybe their hindrances or their fears or their shortcomings or the things that they were just having issues with. That I always say that if you don't really search, nobody's really telling you or showing you how to get over those things. So that's where it kind of all started for me in this whole realm of inspirational speaking and coaching.
Now, you know, we connected through another podcast that I listen to, which is EO Fire. So, I mean, that's a pretty huge podcast to be on. So congratulations first on being a guest on John Lee Dumas's podcast. That was exciting.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, you know, John has an amazing energy level. So we were we were just on there on, I like to say on 15, just, you know, it was energy galore. So I really had a good time doing that podcast.
Yeah. And a little spoiler alert, we've actually got him as a guest on our podcast coming soon.
Wow, I would definitely be listening in to that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So you have been involved with a couple of books, one with George Frazier and Les Brown that we mentioned, Mission Unstoppable. Tell us a little bit about that one. How did you get involved in that project?
You know, this story is probably one of the most amazing stories ever because I've looked up to George Frazier and Les Brown since the very beginning of my inspirational speaking career.
They're giants, aren't they?
They're giants. I mean, how could you not? And I always say, if you hold the intention, it will come. Mm-hmm. And I held the intention for years. I said, you know what? I'm going to work with George Fergie and Les Brown. Earlier this year, I sent a tweet to Tony Robbins telling him we were going to work together this year, and I couldn't wait for it. So you guys stay tuned for that. But what really happened was I got in contact, and this is the power of networking, but I got in contact with an old friend through LinkedIn, and we just started, you know, communicating back and forth. And one day we're on the phone, and I'm telling him about The Art of Mastering You, the book that I was writing at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? George Fraser and Les Brown, have you heard of them? And I'm like, really? Like, that's the question you're going to ask me? He said, they're doing a co-authored book, and I think you should be a part of it. And honestly, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, me too. Like, yeah, right. Like, sounds great. Like, yeah. I think I should go to dinner at Warren Buffett's house too and, you know, eat lunch with Oprah. You know, of course I do. And you know, I'm thinking he's hypothetically speaking, and he says, no, seriously. He said, me and George Fraser are really good friends. I'm going to send you his number. You should call him and tell him I said, I think you would be great for this book. And I'm still like, wow. Seriously? So we hang up. He sent me George's number. And I met George maybe when I was about 19 years old. Uh-huh. Of course, you know, this is a long, long time later after that. And I'm thinking, I'm not calling this man out of the blue and telling him that some random guy told me I would be great for his, you know, probably best-selling book. Yeah. But I did it. You know, I called George and George answered the phone and he said, hey, how you doing? I told him who I was. I told him who referred me. And I said, you know, he told me I might be a good candidate for the co-author book that you guys are doing. And George said, okay, take a look at this. I'm getting on a plane. And when I land, I'll give you a call back. He hung up and I said to myself, you know what? If nothing else, I got a chance to speak with George Fraser. I'm fine. I don't expect him to call
right,
me back.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't expect that. Literally, I don't know if the wheels touched the ground yet before he called me back, because when he called me back, I could hear the dings, you know, the dings on the plane.
Yeah.
He's still on the plane. So my phone rings, it's him. I get on the phone. He said, did you take a look at the information that I want you to look at? I said, yes. He said, tell me more about yourself. I told him by the time that conversation was over, he said, I think this gentleman was right. You would be great for this book. I would love you to be a part of it. And it just kind of unfolded from that point.
I hope you were sitting down when he gave you that news. Otherwise, you're going to fall down.
All over the place. I mean, even to this day, you know, when I hear people read and they go, you're a part of a book with Les Brown and George Fraser, it still really blows my mind, because I'm just like, you know, little old me from Atlanta, you know, just doing my best to empower as many people as I can, how your dream can take on a life of its own and just something that you've thought about forever can just come to fruition.
Right. Mm. But you're actually applying the rules that we train our authors in, which is you create your own reality and speak it into existence. And then you relate to your word like it matters, like it's a big deal, you know, and then you act anyway in the face of anything, because your body, your thoughts, your emotions are going to tell you, do not pick up the phone. Do not call this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, here I am on the podcast with the flu, because like, I am absolutely thrilled that we have you on the podcast. I tell you what, I willed myself well over the last 24 hours, well enough that I can do this. You know?
That's great. You said something just key then. You said you got to act it all the way out. And that's one of the things that I get a chance to work with coaching clients on today. I get to work with them on the sense of, once you believe something and you hold that intention, now everything else about you, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, it has to line up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I talk to people, they'll say, RJ, that whole, you know, intention thing and speak it and, you know, it's going to come and you're tracked. But I don't believe all of that. You know, everybody says that. And I say the reason it doesn't work for most people is because most of the time we're a direct contradiction to the very thing that we want.
Yeah.
And if you pay attention to yourself, most of the time you want one thing, but you're in a different space.
Your actions actually don't match it.
Right, right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of stuff. And like I said, those are the areas that I always judge myself in, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, especially, and physically. If those things don't line up, then I know for a fact, guess what? You know what? I'm a contradiction to this. So it's not that it's not coming, but I'm a direct contradiction. And I think working with a Les Brown or a George Fraser, or to be even mentioned in the same sentence as them, was something that I held from such a young age. And I never really contradicted it, because probably because I forgot about it over the years. But I just always felt like, you know, one day I'll be there. You know, one day I'll be at that level to where when you mention some of these greats that I look up to, my name will ease into that conversation somewhere. And lo and behold, I didn't know back then, but once I did that, I launched myself on that path to going directly toward.
Yeah, because belief is more powerful, actually, than fact. You know, but when you true all that stuff up, everything's possible.
Sure. There's a couple of things from that story that I want to point out to our listeners. And number one is that you were writing a book at the time, right? It wasn't finished, but you had down a one-liner for the book where you could intelligently speak about the book. And that is, you can't practice at the game, the art of mastering you. Mm-hmm. And so when you were having this conversation with this guy and you were able to intelligently talk about what you were working on, opportunities opened up.
Definitely.
Now, so many times our authors, you know, they're shy about what they're writing because they, you know, they don't quite know what genre it is. They don't quite know where it fits in the world. They aren't quite sure of, you know, the theme or premise of the book.
Or that they're the ones to tell the story.
Yeah.
The
and so they
thing.
Stumble all over themselves and they say, oh, you know, I kind of write on the side. And had you said that, you wouldn't have gotten the opportunity.
I wouldn't have got the opportunity. And here's what I tell, you know, writers, entrepreneurs, anybody that's searching to accomplish something that's bigger than them, if you will, you can't be safe and successful at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know that sounds probably a little harsh to some people, but you cannot. You can't be safe, meaning that you can't protect yourself. You can't worry about if they're going to criticize my work or if they're not going to like it or, you know, I'm not sure. You can't be safe and successful. If you look at most successful people, and I categorize that as the people names that you know that you never met, as somebody that has left some type of legacy, because I've never met you, but I know your name and I know everything about you. Those people, at some point, they stopped playing it safe. At some point, they said, okay, this is me. This is my writing. This is what I have. This is what I'm talking about. Here it goes. And either the person or whoever you're presenting it to, they're going to like it or love it, but you're never going to know. And like you said, I know so many great entrepreneurs, great writers and authors that their work is kind of tucked in the closet somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to a young lady the other week and she said she has 4 or 5 books that are done, but she hasn't published them, hasn't got them edited or anything. And I said, why? She was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I really want to put them out. I go, well, what did you write them for? Was it therapy? And she goes, no, it wasn't therapy. I said, well, you wrote them for somebody else then. Put them out there. There's somebody, there's a niche or a target audience of people that they're waiting on what you have to say. And at some point you have to tell yourself, I am being selfish to those people if I don't give them what they're looking for. You know, so I agree with that. You can't be safe and successful. So put it out there. You got to open yourself up.
Yeah. And I'm just guessing that that certainly isn't the first person that you told about your book.
Not at all. And it didn't go well with a lot of people. It doesn't always go well, you know? Yeah, I told a lot of people, and some people aren't going to see it the way you see it. That's a part of this journey. You know what I mean? And I always tell people, it does not take everybody loving you for you to be massively successful.
Exactly.
You know, that's what people think. Like when I put something out, when I put out a book or a manuscript, I also write scripts and screenplays. So people think that when I put something out, everybody has to love it. And I go, no,
not everybody loves strawberries.
Not at all.
Right?
There are movies that win Oscars that I've never seen or I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? You know what I mean? I'm one person in the entire world, but obviously it won an Oscar. Somebody loved it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's all that matters. And I always tell people, put your work out there. Pay more attention to those that do versus those that don't.
So obviously writing books is just one facet of your career. Tell us about the other supplemental things that you're doing.
The other supplemental things is I'm also an entrepreneur. That's my heart. So I co-own a couple of businesses here in Georgia where I live. But one of the main things that I do every single day is I am a business and life coach. And people go, okay, that sounds great, RJ. What the heck does that mean? From a business perspective, I typically work with people with well-established careers and top-level professionals. I show them how to transition from full-time employment to full-time entrepreneurship. Also work with entrepreneurs on how to scale their businesses so that they can start generating full-time revenue. The life coaching part is I am a personal development coach just at heart. So I don't feel that a person is separate personally or professionally. I feel like if your personal life is not where it's supposed to be, it's going to spill over into the professional. And if the professional life is not where it's supposed to be, it's going to spill over into the personal. So I always include those things. So while I'm helping entrepreneurs build great businesses, I'm also helping them to build great lives. Because I always say we get really good sometimes at making a living, but we forget about life.
You know, what's interesting is when we introduce ourselves to people, we always say, hi, my name is, and this is what I do.
Right.
For a living. It's like we have it so completely intertwined, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, one of the first things that I'll ask clients, I had a client this morning and I asked him, I said, what excites you and fulfills you and do you do enough of it? And he paused like 99% of adults do when I ask them that question. And after about 3 seconds, I said, stop, I don't want to know anymore. I said, because you don't know. And I said, that's not life. The best advice that I always offer to people is that if you're not having the best time ever doing what you're doing, something is wrong with what you're doing. I don't care if you're building a business, if you got quotas, if you got numbers that you're trying to reach, if you're not having the time of your life doing it, you're not doing something correctly. That's one of the first things that I'm doing in my business and life coaching. I combine the two because I don't want to just help you make money. Because at the end of the day, money is only as relevant as the need.
Right.
You know, yeah. once you bought all of the stuff and you got all of the things and you took all of the vacations, then what? You know, you got to have something else outside of that. So that was my really, really long answer to say I am also a business and life coach. Of course, I do some inspirational speaking, but my everyday thing that I wake up and do is coaching sessions. I do them every single day. I'm thankful and fortunate enough to say that I have a client booked every single day of my life. Well, every single day that I won't work, let me say that.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. I just did an assessment where I listed everything in my life, like everything, and then ranked it 0 to 10. And what I noticed was hobbies. I had zeros on hobbies. I've stopped having hobbies. And I love what I do. But like every time you say Georgia, it's like, what I'm taken back to is, was it a year ago, Michael?
Yeah,
I
went down and spoke
down in Florida, and we actually rented a car and we drove up the coast. And it's like, this is what I'm remembering. It's like, it comes to mind all the time is that trip to Georgia.
Yeah.
Where we took a 3-hour nap in a hammock. Do you know what I mean?
It's right. Like, this is so amazing. That's the only thing that really matters at the end of the day. You know, I've had several people that I've been with them at the transition point or at the end of their lives. And to this day, none of them have ever talked to me about how much money they made in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. They didn't talk about necessarily the great accomplishments. What they talked about are the memories. Remember that time when we took this trip, or that time when I reached out to this person and changed them. We remember those things. And a lot of times as business owners, we get so serious about everything that the business becomes a chore, especially when you're writing. Most people, you started out writing because it was a love. Right. It was a passion.
Significant.
Yeah, it was very significant. It did something for you. Now you're writing because I'm an author. And I have to put out this book this month because, you know, I have this quote and it has to be done by, you know, the end of the next quarter. And now writing is a chore to you. Mm-hmm. You sit down to write and it's frustrating and you're forcing things out. And consequently, it reflects in your work. You know, it shows up in your work. So my whole thing and my philosophy with the art of mastering you is getting people back down to a very simple level of life, a very level of ease. A lot of my clients, I require that you have a disconnect day. You know, it's a requirement. It used to be a suggestion. Now it's a requirement. I need to make sure at least one day out of a week, you're having a great time. You're doing something that does not have anything to do with responsibility or what I call the responsibility wheel of life that we just run on all the time. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure of that because unless you're rejuvenated in that aspect, I know you're not going to create your best.
That's right. So true.
You know, that's interesting. I said the first rules my first rules of writing, and then the last three are read a lot, your genre, write, you do have to write. And then number six is create from a space of wonder, like a child creates, right? And what I find I do is I need a day off so bad that I'll get sick. It's like my body will say, okay, you're taking a day off. Right. And who wants to spend that day off sick?
You don't. You don't. And you have to get it to the point to where that day off, it's a balance. You know, always say life is a great ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in and you go out, you go in and right. you go out. And what happens as a writer or an entrepreneur, we get really good at giving. We get really terrible at receiving. Mm-hmm. You know, most coaches need a coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. Most Absolutely. Doctors are unhealthy. Why? Because you can operate in the gift, and the gift is forgiving, but you don't know how to now turn that around on yourself and receive, because you have to do both. You know, you have to do both. So I've gotten better over the years personally, just making sure that, you know what, it's 10 p.m. I didn't get that done today. Go to sleep. I'll do it tomorrow. And people go, oh my God, you're a business owner. You can't do that. You can't. Guess what? I'm going to be so refreshed and rejuvenated that when I wake up in the morning, I'll get that done in 20 minutes. And I've done it. You know, something that I would have toiled over and stayed up for the next 2 hours, you know, stressing over, and still wouldn't have got it done to the best right. of my ability. I'll rest and just know that it's well, all is well, and wake up the next morning and do a miraculous job in 20 minutes. And it's just something about having that level of peace. And that's a part of my business and life coaching.
Well, you know, writing is the same way. I tell my private clients, take your eyes off it. You know, they're like struggling to get it done. But then I can see like there's just no creative juice anymore. And I'll give them assignments. Go binge watch this. Go to the movies. Go to the park. Go do something fun. Go shopping, you know, and take eyes off for a long enough period of time that when you come back, it's fresh. And then all of a sudden that something that they couldn't have even accomplished in 3 weeks because there was no creative energy. Mm-hmm. They do it in an hour.
You know? I agree. I do author coaching now. And one of my first rules when I talk to somebody that I'm doing author coaching with, and they go, you know, I'm trying to write this book. And I go, the first rule to writing a book is this: don't try to write a book. And they go, RJ, what does that mean? But I want to write a book. And then we go through this whole, you know, emotional phase. But that's my first rule. Don't try to write a book. I tried to write a book for years and it didn't happen. I say because the mindset of I want to write a book is a very daunting task.
Yeah.
It's like standing at the bottom of Mount Everest and saying, I'm going to climb this thing.
Exactly.
That's hard. Yeah. But if you just say, you know what, I'm going to write consistently daily, or I'm going to write when that emotion or that spirit hits me, and I'm going to make sure that I do that on a consistent basis, you'll create a book out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, a book is constructed out of the pure expression of the writing that you have. You don't sit down to make a book, you know. And once I finally got that concept, I just started writing. And once I figured that out and I started writing, I looked up one day and I had a whole file full of stuff. And then I went back with an editor and all of that great stuff to help me make this out of a great book.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I totally chop it up. It's like we storyboard it first and we make sure all the pieces are where they belong. And then it's like, okay, now you're going to write the synopsis. Okay. And then we're going to play with that. And then we're going to write the chapter summaries. And then we're going to play with that. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to leapfrog back and forth. And, you know, until eventually there is a book there. Mm-hmm. Right.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You know, I always say everything needs to be broken down into attainable steps, you know, and it's the same thing for writing a book. And I used to say I'm going to write daily when I was writing my book. And some days I would sit down and I would read two lines that I wrote the day before, and I might change a word and I'm done. That's all I got for the day. Like, nothing else is flowing. I'm not going to press this. So nothing else is flowing. And then okay. And then tomorrow I might sit down and I might, 10 pages may come out, you know, but it's all about having that confidence to know that this is going to get done. It's going to happen, but I don't have to force it out. You know, I think we're in the age of where we're forcing things and we offer so much resistance until, instead of things coming toward us, they kind of run away from us just based on how we're feeling and how we're kind of putting things out there.
Well, I love that you said that. I think it's just critical to remove the resistance.
Absolutely. You know?
'Cause as soon as there is resistance, as soon as there is something to overcome, you know, there it is, then you will always have that in your face. Mm-hmm. You know?
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, I always tell people sometimes you can pay attention or focus on something that you want so much that you start to offer more resistance to it. And instead of it coming toward you, it's going further away from you. I described it like this this morning. I said, think of the law of attraction, or think of the universe, or whatever it is you believe in. Think of it as the thermostat in your home. Let's just say it's warm in your home and it's warm outside. If you go to that thermostat and you put it on heat and turn it up to 90 degrees, it will not question you. That thermostat will employ all of its resources. It will turn the furnace on. It'll take energy, electricity, whatever it needs, and it will take that temperature to 90 degrees, even though it's already hot in your home. So that flow is getting you closer to what you set it as. It's the same thing in our lives. Once we set that desire, I'm going to be an author. It's done. The flow of the universe is taking you to becoming an author until you offer some type of emotional resistance that pulls you out of that path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the moment you launch a desire, you're going toward it anyway. Everything about your life starts to shift in that aspect. You know, but somewhere in there, we get nervous, we get fearful, we start what if, and we start overthinking, overanalyzing, and we move the thermostat.
Yeah.
You know, and the thermostat is, again, it's not judgmental. It's just going where you set it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so if I move it from 90 to 70, it goes, oh, you don't want to go to 90 anymore? All right, cool. Go the other way. And then you go back to 90, it goes, I don't know what you're doing. We'll go the other way. It's not going to judge you, you know. And most of the time, we live our lives just kind of going back and forth instead of just understanding, I launched it, let me stay there. And watch how everything just kind of aligns you with what you need to accomplish that.
It's crazy. It starts looking like magic.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just miracle after miracle after miracle. It's craziness when you just really give yourself over.
Because life is trying to get it to you. It's not trying to take it away from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's trying to get it to you. And I think that's the shift that we have to welcome in and kind of understand is that everything that I want, it's really trying to come to me. But I think society has taught us that life is hard. You know, life is difficult. It's going to be this, you know, this hard road. So,
we inherit those conversations from our parents who got them from our parents who got them from our great cave parents.
Forever. Yeah. So we have to shift that way of thinking. And I think that's just as important as writing a book as the actual process of writing the book. You know what I mean? It's understanding that the moment I said I'm going to become an author, I'm going to become an author. You know, the moment I said I was going to become a best-selling author, I mean, I had no idea that the Les Brown and George Frazier book would become a bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
They pre-sold the book. And I remember the day that they sent out the thing saying that it's going to be a bestseller. And I was like, wow. And it was like, make sure to add that to your bio. And I go, wow. You know, like, you know, just all of a sudden, I didn't really work for this. I didn't conjure up a bunch of stuff. It was just, it was coming to me anyway because it was a desire of mine.
Yeah. And then you acted consistently with that.
Definitely. Gotta act. It's gotta be some acting on your part. But I always say your acting still needs to be in line with how you feel. It needs to be in line with your belief because a lot of people are just acting without the belief. And I put a quote somewhere on social media one day and I said, if you're working hard to substitute your lack of belief in what you want, it won't work.
Mm.
Right. You know, because I hear a lot of people going, you got to grind, and you got to stay up all night, and you got to
see that's the belief, right? And so that's the belief. It is.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, you can stay up all night. I've done it. You know, I've done the no sleep and the no this and the no that. And I didn't get any further than anybody else with that. And I'm not saying you don't have to work hard at times, but if that's your mentality that I got to kill myself in order to make it, That's a whole different thing because now you're covering the belief or the fear that you won't make it.
Right.
You know, and fear is one of those things that paralyzes us a whole lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I am amazed at, you know, Angie and what she produces, what we produce together. And it seems like whenever we have these major breakthroughs, there is zero effort involved. It
seems to come out of nowhere.
It's exactly like your Les Brown story where you were just, you know, quote unquote, right place, right time, lucky. But, you know, it's not luck. It is preparation and then just being there, being that open vessel. And it just so many times it's crazy the stuff that happens. And we just kind of look at each other and go, did that just happen? How did that just happen? It's crazy.
And sometimes it's just, like I said, it's just living and going with that flow, doing the things. I talked to a lot of people today, seems like, but I talked to a coach this morning and he was saying, you know, RJ, what should I do? What should I be doing every single day? I'm a coach. What do I do? I said, coach. Yeah. And he said, but I don't have anybody to coach. I said, so what? Coach somebody, turn the camera on. Because I said, at the end of the day, you have to do what you say you do. If you tell me you're a singer, at some point, I need to hear you sing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you don't just keep walking around going, I'm a singer. I'm the best singer out to sing. That's what you do. Do it. And I told him, I said, you're a coach. That means that when I Google your name, there should be some content or something out there that proves to me you do what you say you do. Mm-hmm. Some information, some kind of way that you're adding value. But once you're in that groove to where you're adding value and you're doing what you say you do, you're in that flow to where those things that you want, like you said, they start to attract themselves to you. Mm-hmm. And you wake up and you get an email and somebody says, hey, I want you to do this. You get an email, hey, I want you to do this. I got an email the other week. I had to turn it down, unfortunately, but somebody wanted me to be on a television show. And different reasons I had to turn it down. But I was just amazed. Like, I don't know who the people are. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't reach out to you. How did you find me? And and when I talked to the lady, I said, how did you find me? And she said, honestly, I'm not 100% sure. I just know when I came in, my assistant put your name and your website and your information on my desk and said, get in contact with him. He might be a good candidate for what we're doing.
Well, I got to tell you my story. I was walking on the treadmill at the gym, mm-hmm. and I heard your interview with EO Fire with John Lee Dumas.
Okay.
And at the end of the interview, there was an invitation to get in touch with you. While I was on the treadmill, mm-hmm. I tapped out an email to you and shot it off, and I got a response back before I was done with my workout.
Wow.
And so, you know.
And then I got an email from Michael, or a message from Michael. Get on this calendar right now. What was I doing at the time?
I don't even remember.
I was in a meeting or something.
Yeah, you were with a client or something.
I was in a big deal meeting of some kind. I don't remember what. And I'm like, okay.
Stop everything.
Oh, a big deal meeting. Let me tell you, I was substitute teaching at my son's middle school.
That's a big
deal.
And
we were on a field trip.
Oh, wow.
I'm walking these kids, like I'm on the train and we're in a theater.
Oh, yeah. You got to focus on that.
Man. And I'm like, okay, I'm on it. I get it. Yeah.
And that's amazing how, you know, how things work, you know. And a lot of times we're so not used to that's the way it's supposed to be that sometimes we don't even believe it worked. I had one guy to do the same thing. And this guy literally sent me 4 different emails questioning if he was really one of the people that I was going to talk to. like I got, cause I, you know, the show aired and, you know, I woke up at like 4 in the morning cause my phone, everything that I had was just going off. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And of course, people from different countries heard the show prior to us here in the US. So it was people from all over the world, from Hong Kong to Tokyo to, you know, so I just started replying back and telling people, hey, okay, great. I did say that, you know, get on my calendar. And one guy replied, he goes, am I really one of the top 20 people that emailed you first? And I go, yep, according to this list that I'm replying to. He replied back like, seriously, are you sure? And I'm like, really? Like, do you not believe that it could be simple?
I got your last spot. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't even know that. Wow. You know, and that's, you know, I was just like, man, you know, it can be that simple. But a lot of times we don't want it to be that simple because that seems like that can't be real.
So against what we believe. Mm-hmm. Easy, right?
Yeah. I have this theory, and I always tell people, I believe that when we're born into this world, I believe that we're born with what I call a blank chalkboard or a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, our parents, mom, dad, aunts, uncles, all of these people in our little society or village, they start to write on that chalkboard.
Right.
And at some point, we reach this roadblock to where we really have to determine if those things that are written on our chalkboard, if they're conducive for the person that we want to be today. And a lot of times it's not, unfortunately, it's not.
I would say mostly.
Mostly it's not, you know. And what typically happens is that becomes the process of, will you go through the process to erase that chalkboard mm-hmm. and rewrite the things that are going to serve you well today? Some people are willing and some people are not. But I haven't figured out a way around erasing that chalkboard and rewriting what serves you well today and being the level of success and fulfillment that you really want.
You know, something I want to point out is that I know there are people listening say, oh, yeah, you guys. No problem. You can. you know, the thing is these are just laws, just like gravity. I don't care whether you subscribe to curved space or Newtonian physics, whatever. You know, every time you drop a ball, it's going to hit the ground because we live in this physical world. We don't actually have to understand the law. We don't have to, it just happens, right?
Right, right.
Anybody can apply this. Anybody can apply this. Like, disrupt that fundamental belief system. Look at any beliefs that disempower you, any beliefs that don't serve you. Look at where it came from, and then look for the evidence that it's not true. Because what we do is we just collect evidence for, you know, I'm a screw up, life's hard for me,
right,
you know,
right.
I got this family, you know, whatever, you know?
And I think a lot of people don't believe that because most of what we're talking about has been commercialized. And now it sounds like the same gimmicks of like, you know, buy my five steps to get you $100,000 in the next 90 days. Like, so many people have bought into all of these
success.
Yeah, this, you know,
20 years younger.
Yeah, let me wrap this thing around my waist and have a six pack, you know, in the next week. You know, there's all of these things that sell things as a gimmick. And unfortunately, what we're talking about as far as the law of attraction and believing, it's been kind of sold the same way. So a lot of people look at it like, man, I don't, you know, you guys are selling the same stuff that I've heard before. But what they don't understand is, no, it's not a gimmick. It's a lifestyle. I don't try to false promote to anybody and tell them that I woke up like this today, you know, because there was a process and it's still a process. I still stop myself, you know,
everyday process.
It's an everyday process. Yeah. I still have thoughts that pop up and I go, no, that's not, I can't think that. I speak something different. I make sure that I expose myself to the right things. I create boundaries. I still do this stuff every single day because it's become a lifestyle. And what happens with most people, and I said this in a session yesterday, I told a young lady, I said, in the words of Tony Robbins, you can't be a dabbler. You know, you can't do this a little bit. You know what I mean? Right, this is a swimming pool and you got to get in. You know, you can't put your toe in the water for 10 minutes and go out and have lunch and come back and put your toe in. Right. And that's what most people do when they hear information like this. They'll listen to one podcast and then they'll go, oh, okay. And then maybe they'll read a chapter of a book and then, you know, okay, then I'm done. You know, and it becomes something that I call out of sight, out of mind. When I heard it, it sounded great, but now that I've taken it out of my sight, it's out of mind, so I don't practice that anymore. Therefore, it just doesn't work. You know, so a lot of times, it's not that what we're talking about, it doesn't work. It's just that most of the time, myself included in the past, have been a dabbler. I'm just doing a little bit. I'm doing enough to the point to where it does not make me uncomfortable.
Right. Well, I like to say it's like flushing the toilet. Once is not enough. It's just not.
I need permission to borrow that. That's good. Once is not enough. that's real good. Yeah, I will quote you. That's good. But that's, you know, that's the thing. And I always tell, you know, entrepreneurs, it's a lifestyle. It's day in and it's day out. You know, that's not me saying, oh, it's hard, but you're going to have to change something, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we look at people who, I think one of the biggest deceptions in the world is that we live in a society today to where successful people, whatever that word means for you, they're highlighted, but we highlight the end result. We don't highlight their daily routine. We don't highlight where they come from. We don't highlight what they've been through. And most successful people that I've admired over the years that I've studied and I go back and read their stories, it's not all peaches and cream. You know what I mean? It wasn't, it's not that they're this special person that they woke up like this and they're different from you. No, it's somebody that made a decision and said, I'm not going to dabble. If this works, I'm going all the way. And I call it the moment where you draw the line in the sand. And I remember my line in the sand moment. You know, I won't tell that story because it's kind of sad, but I remember that moment of me kind of sitting there and pleading with the universe or the creator or God or whatever you call it. And I said, here's the thing. If this works, if this believing in personal development and me only focusing on the path of what I want and doing what I'm supposed to do and not stopping and not quitting, if this works, I'm going to see. I will see. I am going to test this to the last degree and I'm going to see. And if it works, for the rest of my life, I'll tell everybody about it. If it doesn't, I'll sham it for the rest of my life. I'll be the person out there going, the secret, get that crap out of here. You know, I'll be that guy. I'll be the pessimist for the rest of my life if it doesn't work. But I am going to give it my all to see. And here I am today, some, I don't know, that may have been 12, 13 years ago, some 12, 13 years later, giving that my all. And I can say that, oh my goodness, it works.
Right.
You know, there have been things that have come into my life that I know that I couldn't have strategized that. You know, I couldn't have possibly made that happen.
Probability.
Mm-hmm.
I studied statistics.
Right.
And I can tell you it's beyond law.
It's beyond, right, right. You know, because,
sure.
You know, that's pretty, statistics are pretty cut and dry. You know what I mean? And I know that there have been some things that I know it came from that line in the same moment. And I love to take a client to that point. I love to take somebody that's kind of in and kind of dabbling a little bit. I'm going to write a book, or, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur a little bit, or, you know, that person. And I love to take them over that edge. Because once you get over that edge, that's where the results are.
Right.
You know, that's where everything that you've been seeking.
A lot of naysayers.
A lot
of naysayers, because, you know, society is all about that day job and, you know, bringing in that paycheck. And,
you know.
Considered responsible.
Right. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I used to say everybody should be an entrepreneur. I don't say that anymore. You know, I used to think everybody should be a business owner. No, I respect the day job. I respect, you know, people who have worked on careers. I have a lot of great friends with careers. But even in that, though, you still need this way of thinking.
It's like saying, you know, okay, let's have a world without nurses. It's like a certain percentage of us.
I need a good accountant. I need a good accountant, or I'm going to be in trouble. So my thing is, you know, we want people in every facet of whatever their, you know, whatever their passion is. It's just getting people to understand and believe that, you know what? Wow, I got to go all the way. You know what I mean? I can't half do it. If this is a goal or a passion of mine, if I am going to write a book, I got to go all the way.
Yeah.
I got to hire the people like you guys who help people do this. If you guys are listening, you got to hire these people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. And I know sometimes that's where, you know, as you know, my aunt and my older people in my life used to say, that's where the rubber meets the road, you know, because most people, they're willing. They're all the way in until it costs something.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and one of the first lessons I learned in business from one of my great mentors when I was 18, he said, there's the price and there's the promise. He said, any promise in the world you can have, but there's always going to be a price attached to it.
Right.
And that price is not always money, but it does include that, you know, but it's time, it's effort, it's energy, it's all of these things. And a lot of people, they're 100% with you. They're 100% in until it calls for them to come out of that comfort zone or to pay some kind of price. I used to describe it like this, and you're a woman, so don't be offended at this, but I always describe it like this because I grew up with a mother and all that good stuff. But I always say,
I'm unoffendable, you know.
If you go in a store with a woman and she sees like a really nice purse or a really nice pair of shoes, it's like, oh my God, I got to have that. You want it right until the moment you flip that price tag over and you go, $2,000 for this bag? It's okay. You know, it's kind of nice. But 5 minutes ago, it was the best bag in the world.
Right.
And I suppose men, we do the same thing. But, you know, that's just always a funny example. So
$2,000 for us is a small price tag.
You know, yeah, right. You know, so it's kind of like we always want it until we see that price tag. So I always tell people, in the midst of this journey, you got to push yourself to that point to where you're like, okay, hey, I'm not going to dabble anymore. You know, whatever I got to do, whatever I got to invest, whatever, I'm going to make this happen. Because the one thing about a passion, and here's something I know for a fact, if you really have a passion for something, it's going to burn in you until you get it out.
Right.
It's never going to let you rest.
The thing about this, you know, this conversation, I owned a furniture store years ago in Vegas, and I was pregnant, going through a divorce. I'd already signed the lease, so I was locked in. And I did not know how I was going to do this. And I remember having a conversation with one of my children who just really got this, because it meant that I needed to invest a huge sum of money. And it was like I could live on that, or I could invest it into this store. And it was like, this choice, either or. Mm-hmm. And I remember this conversation with this kid of mine, and it must have been, what, a long time ago, 15 or more years ago. Mm-hmm. And actually, my child said this, said, I get it. It's either all in or nothing at all. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not all in, you may as well be nothing at all. And, you know, we did that successfully, me and the kids, for like 3 years. We started catering to the rich and famous in Vegas. And I did eventually close the doors. But, you know, what I learned was completely invaluable. It altered the course of my life to take that leap and to do that in the face of impossible circumstances. Because who would have said that I would have been successful having just been a stay-at-home mom and, you know, bringing my kids and my ex-husband's kids along for this ride, pregnant? And who does that? Who does that, right?
And that, you know, that actually gave me chills. It's all or nothing, or you're nothing at all. I'm like, wow, because I look at that, and oftentimes, you know, when I'm in those situations to where it is time to invest, or it's time to write that check, you know, that's usually the fun times when, you know, I need this and I have to do this. Even, you know, being in the Mission Unstoppable, it wasn't free. You know what I mean?
Right.
You had to pay for marketing. You had to pay for a lot of stuff, and it wasn't cheap. And even though I was grinning, I was happy when the assistant called me the next day and said, we need to get your payment. It was like, woo, you need all of that, like, right now, today? Like, yeah, I need it right now. What's your credit card number? I'm like, four, you know, you're trying to stutter that out. But at the end of the day, that's what I started to understand. Like you said, you're either all in or you're nothing at all. And one of the things I tell myself all the time is, what are you being safe for?
Mm.
You know, it's a joking thing, but me and a couple of my friends, we always say, you ain't going to make it out of this thing alive, no matter how safe you try to make it happen. Right. Like, you know, so it's kind of like we're preserving ourselves for this magic day of what, you know.
Safe and small, they go together.
Wow.
Safe and small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So always say, you know, I believe in calculated risk, you know, think it through. But at the same time, you know, it does come a point to where, you know, you've been traveling in circles, and now it's time to say, okay, you know what? I'm going all the way. I'm going to swim today, because if I don't, I'm going to forever be on this side of the fence, not knowing. And somebody asked me the other week, they said, but RJ, what if it doesn't work? What if I invest this, or I do this, or I do that, and it doesn't turn out the way I want it to turn out? I go, possibility, but it'll get you closer.
Yeah.
And yeah, what, you know, where we get all hung up is what we think it means about us, that it means we're a failure. Yeah. Look at Edison, you know?
Yeah. And my thing is, you don't know, you know what I mean? Again, I believe that you're going to attract what you want, but a lot of times, if you don't try some things, you don't know if it will ever work.
Exactly.
You know, and even the things that I've tried and it didn't pan out exactly how I wanted it, I look back today and I'm still so thankful that I did.
Yeah.
Because I learned so much. I talked to a couple the other week that were getting married, and both of them had been divorced before. And they said, you know, we know we love each other, but man, we got these slight reservations because we got references. You know, we've been married before. We don't know if we should do this again. And I said, think about it. Do you really regret your previous marriage? And they were like, I mean, you know, I said, yeah, not the part of the hard times that you went through. I said, but something about that marriage prepared you for this one, because I guarantee you, you will be a different person to this person than you were to the last person. You know, so it's all for a purpose. You know, and sometimes when we neglect to take that step, it's holding us back from learning something, at least, that's going to ultimately get us to where we want to go. I always say, you can't go to fifth grade if you didn't go from K through fourth.
Exactly.
You know, and if by some miraculous feat you jumped to fifth grade and you didn't go from K to four, something about fifth grade is not going to be fun for you. Because there are some lessons that you didn't learn how to add and subtract. You didn't learn how to. So all of a sudden you're over here doing multiplication and you don't even really understand an A from a three, you know, and it's confusing. So you got to go through those steps. And a lot of times it's taking those calculated risks that helps us to go through those steps.
Excellent. Well, RJ, we are certainly glad that you are not a dabbler.
Thank you. Not anymore. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it has been amazing to sit at your feet today and just learn from you. What's what's the best ways that our listeners can get in touch with you? How can we support you? Give us the details.
I give you guys a few things.
All right, hang on just a second.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
No problem. See, you made it. I think that was the first call. Did good. Did great.
Have one more, but yeah, but
that's not bad.
Huh?
That's not bad at all. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. I give you guys a few things. The first thing that I would say, if you're an entrepreneur or even an aspiring writer, because I call you guys entrepreneurs too, because you're stepping out in that realm.
Definitely.
I do have a group on Facebook. It's a private group for now, and it's called Superior Entrepreneurs. If you go there and you request to be in the group, I will, of course, let you in. And what I do in that group is I post a lot of inspirational things. We talk about different things about business. I go live in the group where I kind of do what I'm doing now. I talk about a lot of the things that you need to incorporate in your business or unincorporate from your business. So reach me there at the Superior Entrepreneurs group.
So that's Facebook, right? Facebook.
Mm-hmm. That's Facebook. Yep.
Entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Superior Entrepreneurs. Also on all other social media, I'm at RJ Hodges Speaks, which is one word. And that's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all of the, and even Facebook as well. I have a page on there for RJ Hodges Speaks. I always give away an offer just because I feel like if you took this time to listen to me ramble on this long, you should get something. and what I'll say is, what we talked about today that stood out the most is the art of mastering you. That's what everything that we talked about, if I had to sum it up, that's what it's really about, learning to master yourself. And that book I wrote, You Can't Practice at the Game, The Art of Mastering You, here's what I do. If you guys go to my site, which is rjhodgesspeaks.com, and you order the book, You Can't Practice at the Game, The Art of Mastering You, or even if you order the Mission Unstoppable book, I'll do two things. Number one, I'll make sure you get a signed autographed copy.
Wow.
That's number one. I'll make sure that happens. Number two, if you're interested in coaching, if you're interested in business or life coaching, I'll give you a 20-minute consultation for just going and getting that book and all of that good stuff, where we'll talk about some of the things that coaching can be a benefit for as far as helping you strategize and create a plan. So check out those books. I will make sure you get an autographed copy. And I always tell people, you got to order it from my site to get an autographed copy. If you get the books from any of the other distribution, Amazon, all of those places, same book, I just don't get a chance to touch those because they're coming from distribution centers. But if you get it from my actual site, I'll make sure I sign it before it goes out. And then I'll reach out to you or have somebody reach out to you about setting up that that consultation if you're interested in that as well.
Well, and just a quick plug for you, RJ. You presented a similar offer on the EO Fire podcast, and I took advantage of that. And Angie and I sat at your feet for 20 minutes, and it was amazing.
Oh, actually changed some things.
Absolutely
that I do.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
thank you guys.
Yeah, I had a huge breakthrough out of that.
Take him up on that offer, ladies and gentlemen. It is incredible. And thank you so much, RJ, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I love talking to you guys.
Again, sir, thank you so much for being with us today. It has been an honor.
Totally.
And we'll definitely watch you with great excitement to see when you're going to be on Tony Robbins' stage.
Definitely. Keep your eye open for that. I put myself out there for that earlier in the year, but I'll hold the intent until I see it. So
there we go.
I'm excited about it.
There you go. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe so that you get each new episode as it comes out. You can find all of our episodes and show notes at calliopepodcast.com. Don't forget to shoot some stars our way if you like the show.